I'm so excited tonight. Thank you, band. It's amazing. We really enjoyed worship. I'm really excited tonight because those words are really spot on what I felt God wants to share. God has been talking to me about that. That's just that fact that God wants to speak to us in our everyday lives. He wants to be present in our lives, and especially for being on mission. We just so firsthand, our mission team, we so in a firsthand way experience God as Emmanuel, God with us. God is a God that really wants to direct us and show us the way, every step of the way. And I just want to take this opportunity just to thank everybody in church that send us words on mission. So many of those words, you won't believe what those words done for us, for encouragement and just helping us to do things that God wants us to do. So just thank you for those words. We really felt like the whole church went with us. I'm going to share a few things about what happened on mission that really encouraged me about the fact that God wants to walk with us on a daily basis. So I'm going to share a few things that's from experiences we had as a team. And I want to encourage us with that. My sermon tonight just follows on the first two that I've been preaching in this last 2 months. I've been preaching on a series called Conquering the Darkness. God wants to, like Marichan shared, He wants to delight in our midst and the fire around us. So He really wants to come and eliminate darkness around us. And He really wants to do it through us as a church. Move away from the speaker. So I'm really encouraged about a season that God wants to lead us into. The first one I was speaking about being fearless through intimacy. So through our relationship with God and through knowing His strength and knowing who He is, He wants to make us fearless. He wants to take us to a place where we don't fear the evil. We don't feel the darkness around us. We don't fear what we come across on a daily basis, just in terms of what the enemy is doing. Then the second sermon was just about holiness. This is a standard of light that we bear in our lives. This is a position we take in, representing God in such a whole and such a pure way that the world will look upon us and say we're different. I was sharing about the first church, the New Testament church, how the people actually exceeded the laws of the country, how they lived lives that were morally so upright and so exceeding the standards of that time that the people were reviled by that. People were really testifying to that. The secular world, not the Christians, the secular world was looking upon that. And tonight I'm just going to speaking about a topic that just came up through the words. And I'm really excited about that because God has really been speaking to me about this for the last month quite a lot. And I'm going to base it on Matthew 16, verse 15 to 18. I think a lot of us know the scripture, but it's good to get us back to the basics. Let's get back to what God wants to do in our lives and what is important for us as a church if we want to progress against the kingdom of darkness. Matthew 16, verse 15 to 8, He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So there's two things I just highlighted in there. That's quite prevalent to me. What happened in that situation is, Jesus was with His disciples, and they were all kind of saying what the people say He was. He was a teacher, He was a moral teacher. Some people were saying He was a prophet. Some were saying He's a worker of miracles. And then Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Son of the living God. You're the living God that's living with us. You're the promise that came through the prophets. You're actually Him." So Jesus says, "You're blessed, because it came to you by revelation. You didn't find it out yourself. You are not the one where that truth originates from. God showed you that." And that's to me is such a major key. Then the scripture goes on and says, "On this rock I will build my church." So what Christ is saying there, He says, your salvation starts off by me enlightening your heart. Your salvation starts off by me giving you a revelation, giving you a glimpse of the fact that you need Christ Jesus. But then it says also, then He says also, "But this is how I'm going to continue building my church. Once you come to Christ, I'm going to continue giving you revelation. And that's the only thing that's going to stand. This is what I'm going to use to prevail against darkness. I'm going to expand my church. I'm going to expand my kingdom through revelation knowledge by showing you what to do, leading you daily. Like Marichan shared, God with us, Emmanuel. He wants to come and lead us. And this changes everything. It changes how we relate to the kingdom. It changes how we relate to the kingdom of darkness, how we relate to the unsaved. I'm going to share a bit on that. And it's for me, I knew the scripture and I kind of knew the relevance of that, but it's just really opening up for me the relevance of this in my everyday life, how we need to apply the scripture and how we need to trust God for this to become flesh. I want to build a bit of a basis on this that relates to revelation knowledge. And the first question I'm asking is, how was Christ revealed to the initial disciples and to his first followers? How did the first people that knew Christ came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? And I made a summary. But basically, Mary, Jesus' mother, she didn't know she was carrying Christ except for the fact that the angel Gabriel was testified to her before it happened. Elizabeth, which was acknowledged that Christ was the promised one, she was filled by the Spirit and then she prophesied. Joseph, Jesus' dad, or you could call it stepdad, he knew that he had to not divorce. He shouldn't divorce his wife because an angel appeared to him. The shepherds, by angelic announcement, the Magi were guided by a star. Simeon and Anna, which prophesied, Jesus said to them, they're going to see the promised one, but they only recognized him by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of them. They were moved by the Holy Spirit to prophesy. And what's quite relevant about the birth of Christ were the people that were absent from his birth. If you realize, there were people in those days that really knew Scripture. They knew the Old Testament law, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law. Those people were really, their life was about searching Scriptures. That's what they did for a living. When Christ preached, none of them recognized Christ just by their pure knowledge of Scripture. So everybody that came to the knowledge of Christ came to it through enlightenment. God had to show them. And it's not like Scripture is bad or anything. It's just that Scripture alone is not going to lead you to Christ. There's some extra ingredient that's needed. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. That's called revelation knowledge. God has to reveal himself to us, God with us. And what's also this cool, it's just the fact that Christ was so humble. He didn't appear in a synagogue. He didn't appear, if you think of the current pope that was ordained last year, when the previous pope, he decided to retire, everybody started speculating who's going to be the new pope. And all the leaders of the world flew to Rome, etc., etc. So when a new pope was announced, everybody was there to see it. But when Christ was announced, he was announced to those who were not invited. He was born in a stable, and that's just so amazing about God, how his humility and his presence can be known, can be made known through his humility to people, and that's just really encouraging. But just to continue on that thought, Jesus then lived the life that was prophesied in the Bible. In the Old Testament account, prophetical account of Christ, it's got like something like 350 prophecies that was fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. But even after he was resurrected and ascended to heaven, there was still a place where people still didn't acknowledge that he was the Son of God. Although it was very clear scripturally, it's almost impossible that statistically that 350 prophecies can be fulfilled in one person. And it was fulfilled in Christ, and still the rulers of those days didn't acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God. So what I want to do is I want to now go to the life of Paul the apostle, because he was one of those lawmakers. He was the teachers of the law, Pharisees. The Bible says he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So he was really one of the head guys in the Old Testament times. He was one of the head Jews of the Jews. He really knew Scripture like probably few of his counterparts knew it. And what happened in his life, he actually became a persecutor of Christ. Because he, for his zeal for the church and for truth and for biblical, he had scriptural knowledge. Because of his zeal, he actually started persecuting Christ. And the scripture, Acts 22, verse 6 to 8, this reveals how he came to know God. And it happened to me, traveling and drawing near to Damascus, suddenly about midday, a great light out of the heavens shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, what, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Who will you persecute? And really, in that 30-second account, Saul's life, well, he became Paul, changed around from a persecutor of Christ to apostle. And God actually commissioned him in that moment by his voice. And everything changed. So he becoming the head persecutor, being a murderer, all those things of the church. He became one of the head apostles of the church just by God shining into his light, just by the light of God, revelation knowledge in his heart. So everything changed in a moment. And that's quite an interesting concept. If you think it happened to Paul, it makes you think about our own lives. See, for me, it didn't happen exactly like Paul. I didn't have such a dramatic moment coming to Revelation. But if I think back, all that happened in my journey to find Christ, it was all moments of revelation. Me just worshiping God, experiencing His presence, God speaking to me through people, etc. All those moments accumulated in my life, coming to Christ, and my life being where it's at that, in this moment. So what the statement that I want to make is for us to be effective in the kingdom, and for the kingdom to come, there's a big part for revelation knowledge. God's voice amongst us, God's voice speaking to us in our lives. Romans 5 verse 1 to 2, this is the same Paul, and I'm going to make another statement. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And yet it says, through Him, we've obtained access to faith by grace. And we always say, how did we get saved? And the scripture that comes to mind is we've been saved by grace through faith. But that faith, that small word faith that's in that line, that faith, my experience of that faith was always like the major part of that faith was about me. I extended my faith and I became saved. But what this scripture is saying, and Paul having that revelation through God appearing to him and getting saved, he's saying Christ gave him access to that faith. And what I firmly believe is if anybody can say I've been saved by faith, that faith originates from revelation knowledge. That faith is not a blind faith. It's a faith that originates from a fact. And that's a fact that God speaks into my heart. So the more and more I think about it, I've got this thing where when I got saved, I had this thing. I always thought I'm quite special because I got saved. I must have done something to get saved. But the more I'm thinking about it, the more I realize the fact that I'm saved is really a fact of God's grace. The fact that He reached out into my heart. And I always thought it was so difficult for me to get saved. If it was so difficult for me, then there's not many people that's going to come to God. I always thought like, it's going to be impossible for other people because they're worse than me. But the more I realize it, the more I think about it, the more I realize it's just grace. And if God can save me, then He can save anybody. He can save the worst sinner. He can save the biggest murderer. Because by grace, He's revealed to me who He is. And I acted upon that in faith. And so for me, this is a critical key for the kingdom advancing. For us, this is really putting the emphasis back on God to reveal Himself to the lost world out there and to reveal to us what His strategy is for His kingdom to come. Ephesians 1 verse 16 to 23. I did not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Let's see. Do I miss something? Thank for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. So here, God is speaking of the promise to the church, and this is the great things we'll do, and amazing things that he's going to come and reveal to us, and this is grace towards us. But the scriptures are underlined there. It says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation God wants to pour out. And Paul is praying that that spirit gets poured out amongst his disciples. And he's speaking here about the church. And then he says that their hearts will be enlightened, that they may know to what call them, what are the riches and inheritance of the saints. So this is such a combination between revelation knowledge and us taking ownership of what God has called us to. There's such a combination when we see things not happening around us in this world, of God having to come and reveal himself in that aspect of himself for things to change, and especially in the church. For me, it's quite a challenge sometimes when I see somebody, in, perhaps in church, a disciple of mine, I don't see him walking in the truth of God and revelation of God. And sometimes it's something simple, just like the provision of God. God able to provide for us. So the instinctive thing for me is to come to a place where I really just bombard people with words. I say, well, Scripture says God will provide. Scripture says this and Scripture says that. But what Paul is saying here is, I never cease to give prayer for you, that God will reveal to your heart, that you will have a revelation of God. And in that situation, in this specific situation, where somebody doesn't have revelation of God's provision, it's not like he's an unbeliever. God hasn't just not given him that revelation yet, that God can provide in his life. So I just want to encourage you in your situations, in your workplace, and in your small groups, that's what I feel God is challenging me to. It's really to trust God that people will get a revelation of his character, of what he wants to do in and through us. And a big part of that is prayer. We just pray things into being. If you're a small group leader and you see someone in your small group struggling with something, pray before you bring the word to the person. Pray for the person. Pray that he will be receptive to the word, and pray that God will give him a revelation of who he is. If he needs to know God as provider, then pray that that person will come to know. Pray that his heart will be opened to the revelation that God provides. Pray that his heart will be opened and God is a God of glory and God is ruler over the universe. Whatever God is giving you revelation of, that you feel that person needs to be an overcomer in this world, pray that into being. But that's what Paul said. Paul, another scripture, Paul says, I labor for you as in childbirth. And what he's saying there is the same thing. He is laboring for his disciples. He was laboring for the church to come into his fullness. Just such an example for me of this scripture. I'm going to share a few examples as I go along to the scriptures from mission. As we were in Meru in Kenya, we were reaching out one evening, and the one lady, she had a slight manifestation, just a demonic manifestation. Something happened to her. But the previous night, that same lady came to me for prayer. And I really sense there's something in her she's really seeking. And things went a bit crazy, like they sometimes do in African churches. So we had to take authority over the situation. Let's trust God for things to come to order. But then we took her, Neil, into a back room there. And the lady was really struggling. There was really something demonic that just wanted her not to come to salvation. And I just said to Neil and Marie, and you guys just need to pray for her. And I just remember Neil, he just went onto the ground and he was just praying. He was probably praying for 20 minutes, half an hour, while we were just talking to the girl. And then at the end of that service, we walked out and Neil was still ministering to the girl. But during that time, while she was manifesting, we asked her, did you give your life to Jesus? She shook her head. She didn't want, so the demonic thing inside of her didn't want to allow her to receive Christ. So there was something that was veiling her from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I firmly believe, just because we were praying for her for that half an hour, something broke over her life. I felt she got a revelation for the first time in her life who Christ was. And Neil eventually spoke to her, and she gave her life to Christ. And for me, this was such an explanation of just that laboring that Christ will be revealed to a heart. A lot of times, there's like a contention for hearts. The Bible says there's a spirit of this age that blinds the people. The spirit of this world blinds people from seeing Christ. If people, like in the beginning of the year, we had a series of everybody wants a king like Jesus. And it's true, if you really find out who Jesus is, the king that he is, then you really want him. But there's a spirit in this world that blinds people from the true Jesus, who he really is. It speaks lies about who Jesus is. And that's our contention. We need to pray that hearts are enlightened. Another example of this, it's a bit of another angle, but it's also this the inheritance of the saints and the greatness of the power towards us who believe. It's while we went on mission, when we planned our tickets for the mission, we had a stopover in Kigali, Rwanda, flying there, and it was a 6-hour stopover over. And as we prayed, we just realized God wanted us to go and minister in Kigali because we had 6 hours. So we just decided we just going to go pray at Parliament, and just felt God wanted us to go there. So we arrived on the flight at Kigali Airport. And we went to the customs desk, and as we stood there, the person said to her, "You must go to the transit lounge because you got a transit flight." We said, "No, we just want to go into Kigali. We just want to go pray." He said, "No, that's not lawful. That's international law. In a transit flight, you're not allowed to go into the country. You need to stay in the neutral zone. You cannot go in because you only have a transit flight." No, he said, "Nobody has ever been allowed to go into the country." So we were kind of bummed about it. And then we just realized, but God said we need to go into the country. So we just went back and we just decided to pray about it. And we were probably praying less than 5 minutes. And there's a guy came from a side room. And he turned out to be a Christian guy. Started chatting with him. He started chatting with the customs people. And within 5 minutes, we were through the customs. And we went praying in the country. But the important thing about that is God revealed to us up front that he wanted us to go and pray. So we just took ownership of what God said. Because God is higher than the laws of this world. He's higher than any authority. So that's just a basic thing. But God, really by revelation, he wants to build his church. And he wants the gates of hell to stand back. Ephesians 3 verse 8 to 10. "To me, who am the very least of the saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." You must read the scripture, you must read a few times to just get the value out of it. But it's Paul is saying here, like, "I'm the least of the saints, and God has given me the grace to operate in the kingdom and to bring to light." And it speaks of revelation and knowledge again, to bring people to the light of the knowledge of truth. To the simplest of us, to the least of us, God wants to bring the light of the truth. He wants to bring revelation knowledge to those around us, in church, outside of church. And then he wants to use the simplest of us, just to revelation knowledge, to surprise powers and principalities and the things around us. And for me, once again, just on this mission, I'm just going to speak a lot of the mission because it's quite recent. There were 9 members on the mission. And I was so surprised just by the fact that God, like Raghunath said, being commissioned by God and being commissioned by the church, I was just so amazed how God would just use all of us in such a prevalent way. And for me, the most amazing thing was, like, everybody got a chance to preach. And I couldn't listen to everybody because I wasn't present all the time. But every time God gave somebody in the team opportunity to just bring the word, I think I was the most blessed out of everybody. When somebody preached on faith, Cora preached on faith, I really got a new revelation on faith. Every time somebody preached something, God changed me, because God is not limited. He doesn't just use big preachers and big heads. He uses everybody in the kingdom. And that's just something where we need to come to revelation. God can use all of us to come and establish the church. And I was really, I think that's the most encouraging thing for me about missions. It's just what God did through the team in my life, what God did for us. The one day, just coming back to the heavenlies and authorities and stuff, I can't share all the testimonies, but I'm going to share some of them. It's encouraging. Before we went to Mombasa, God just showed us, to Kenya, God showed us we need to go to Mombasa. But one of the things God showed us, he didn't want us to go and do a lot of warfare in Mombasa. He just wanted us to to go and prepare the ground. It's just our task as intercession team is just to prepare the ground, just to go and to pray for the place and just to repent of stuff and just to ask God to for His presence and just prepare something that He wants to do later. So God is a king and He's got a strategy for taking places. And all of us have got a certain role to play. So our role for Mombasa was just to go and prepare the ground. So the one day we went to Fort Jesus. And just to give you a basic history of Fort Jesus, it used to be an Arab port. It's one of the oldest ports in Africa. And it was used as by the Arabs and by the Portuguese later on. It was used as a slave trading port where they exported Africans to the east. And not much of it is documented because the east history is not as well documented as the west, but the atrocities were as bad or probably worse than the western slave trade to the Americas and things. So a lot of things happened there. So on the day we arrived at Fort Jesus, we actually went to the original slave gate where all the slaves came through and were put on ships and things. We went there, and as we arrived there, we just realized this is like seriously spiritual stuff. The spiritually discerning among us just saw a lot of things and just sensed a lot of things. But because God's revelationary word to us of just going to pray there and just to repent, all we did as a team, we just started praying. God just showed us what we need to repent of. And then we felt we just needed to worship. So a lot of us discerned a lot of stuff there. We could take on Freemasonry. We could take on strongholds of slavery and all kinds of things. But all God wanted us to do, He just wanted us to go and pray there and to worship Him. And we probably worshiped for like an hour, did our dance. And as we left, we really sensed that something changed. Something changed in the spirit. And that was for me so cool. But God will just send you an assignment. It's a simple assignment. And He will give you the keys to what to do. And then it doesn't sometimes make logical sense. He will ask us to do things that are not necessarily understandable. But it will change the world. And I don't know how much it changed things. But I know we were in perfect obedience. I know we heard God's voice. And we did what He asked us to do. And that to me is where God wants to take His church. I believe that's how God wants us to progress. It's really step by step. Just be in obedience. Revelation by revelation. Day by day. Let's just read the next scripture. 1 John 5 verse 4. For everything that has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. In John 5 verse 19. Then Jesus answers and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but only what He sees the Father do. For whatever things He does, these also the Son does likewise. And these two scriptures, the first one really just speaks about how God gives birth to things. And I think it comes back to that revelationary knowledge. What's birthed of God is birthed by revelation. And it's the only thing that's going to stand. The only thing that God is going to remain standing and God comes back is the things that He's given birth to. It's not our good works. It's our works in obedience. But then the second one is really for me so cool because when Jesus came to earth, He emptied Himself of His attributes. Though He was God, though He was able to do all things, He emptied Himself and He became obedient to the Father's voice. And what it really means is He came obedient to what the Holy Spirit led Him to do. So Jesus was perfectly obedient to the Holy Spirit. Although He was God, He emptied Himself of that attributes to do things on His own accord, and He became obedient to the Holy Spirit. So that's what Scripture says, we can do the things He did and greater so, because He was motivated only by the Holy Spirit. He was only motivated by what the Father showed Him to do. So I want to encourage you tonight. I want to stir up your expectation. I'm challenged myself by this, but I want to encourage us as a church that Christ can really come and do things through us that are really great and amazing. Once we grasp hold of the fact that He wants to do it through us by the leading of His voice, through the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus was saying is here that everything He did on earth was really just a copy of what already happened in heaven. What the Father showed Him, that He did here on earth. Are you excited? I think wake up your neighbor next to you and say to him, I think God wants to speak to you. God wants to do some amazing things through you. Tell your neighbor if you're excited about that. Okay, I'm going to share to you guys another testimony for missions. It was really so cool during the whole mission, and that's why I was saying in the beginning, just the words we were getting from church, just the words of encouragement, the things that God just sent to us from our prayer partners, the people that were praying for us. We were really watching the Facebook page every day. Every morning, as a team, we were going to the Facebook page, and everybody got a turn to read the words. And it really encouraged us that because, you know, those words that you get from God in your innermost place, they are revelationary words. They are like we had a commissioning in the beginning of church. Those words have got power to determine life, our life walk. Those words has got the power to actually steer our lives. And that's why commissioning is so important. But that commissioning is so cool. This kind of affirmation of the word. That commissioning comes by revelation knowledge. God tells us what he's called us for, and then he sends us on that path. And that really gives us a confidence. Every time we got a word that affirmed what God has already showed us in our hearts, that just brought such confidence for us to just execute it. And one day, I'm just going to share, one of our assignments was just to go pray around Nairobi. And I'm just going to share part of that day. But in the morning, I'm not going to say who sent the words, because it might bring forth some spiritual pride. But and early in the morning, we read our words, and one of the words that we got was that God is going to hide us under a cloak of invisibility. So that's the first word, and the first thing we were going to do that day, we was going to pray at the University of Nairobi. So we went to the University of Nairobi. God gave us some words. We wrote it on a flag. But then we went onto the middle of the campus. There was like a grass patch, and there was classrooms all around us, all four corners. And the university was in session, so there were people in all the classrooms. There were students walking up and down the passages. So we just realized upon the words and things God gave us, we just realized that God just wants us to pray and to worship. So Neil took the jammy, Marika and the guitar, and we just worshiped. We just probably worshiped for 40 minutes or something. We just worshiped. And in that 40 minutes, it was so weird. We were worshiping God, and people were walking past us. People in the classrooms were sitting everywhere, and it was loud. We even blew the shofars at the end, which is really loud. And nobody joined us. People just casually sometimes looked at us and then they walked past, which is just incredible. So what was amazing about that, when afterwards I reviewed this word and I said, wow, Lord, you really gave us boldness there. But our boldness was really partly based upon this word. God just said we're going to be invisible. So everything, we didn't worry about what we were going to do because God said we're going to be invisible. So that's cool. That's one word. One of the words we got in the morning was Jericho's walls were coming down. So Neil and some of his strategic partners, they laid out a route that we're gonna walk in. The one place we came to was like a fountain in the middle of Nairobi, in the middle of the park. And we just immediately sense it's anyway off place. I'm not going to go into the detail, but there's some significance there. We needed to do some things there, and we were not sure what to do. And then that word came around us that Jericho's walls were coming down, and Marichan got a word that we need to march around the fountain. And then I asked the Lord, how many times do you want us to walk around it? And then in that moment, and this might sound simple, but God just spoke to us through eagles a lot of the times. So seven eagles just came to fly around us in that moment. So we realized we need to walk around it seven times. So we walked around it seven times just worshiping the Lord. And in the end of the seven times, we did our dance and we just blew the trumpets. But we could really sense in that moment God did something. So it didn't make sense to our logic. It didn't make sense to anything of our, that doesn't sound logical that it will make a difference. But that's what God led us to. And then the day progressed. And like three quarters through the day, one of the targets we had was going to Parliament to pray. Not Parliament, to the Supreme Court, which is also one of the places that was on that line that Neil got for us. And then that was quite at the end of the day. So we were all getting kind of tired and like wondering, should we do some more stuff? But one of the words that somebody sent us in that morning was, we must set our face like a flint and we must continue it until all the work is complete. So we just remember that word. I remember that word. I realized we must complete what God said we needed to start. So it's just like a simple word, but you know how powerful that is, just that revelation word. It really stirred us on to keep going. One of the other things when we went to the Supreme Court, I just felt led to ask the people on the team who feels they need to go and pray in the Supreme Court, because I just felt all of us cannot go in there. It will be a bit too much. And they might not allow us in. So Claudine and Lindiwe, they felt in their heart that God wants to take them in. I said, okay, Lord, let's go. And as we went into the Supreme Court, it was amazing. The number one court was open. It's like the highest court of the country. There was only one guy sitting in there, but he was also kind of blinded. We did some stuff in there, and the guy just sat there. He didn't worry too much. But as we started praying, we just sensed that God wanted us to identify with the different tribes of the country. And it was amazing. There was only three kind of different cultural groups in our team, and we represented the three. So each of us could just identify with the different culture groups and just identify what God wanted to do, so we could just pray over that stuff. And at the end of the day, God just sent us a word, like a veil being lifted off the city on that day. You know how encouraging that is when you get that word at the end of the day, when you've done all that stuff. It really just brings faith that what you've done in the day has really been it's been effective. So we walked away from there. We don't know what God did in it all. We cannot measure those things, but we know God did something. We know God, through revelation knowledge, used us in some part of bringing down darkness and a veil over that city. So that was really just encouraging for me, just to see how God would work through the church. As I read that previous scripture, God wants to make known to the principalities and the powers. He wants to know His manifold power through His church. He wants to do it through us. He hasn't got a plan B. He's only got one plan, and that's through His church. He's not going to use anybody else but His church, and He is raising up His church. So I want to encourage you. That's our role, and God called us to an exciting life. Yes. Okay. I just want to find my bearing there. Okay, this next scripture, Isaiah 11, verse 2 to 3. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and mind, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. This is so important. Like Christ, when he walked this earth, he didn't walk it in his carnal mind. He tested everything in the Spirit. When he saw somebody being angry, He didn't just come to a conclusion that person is angry at him or angry at the situation. He judged by the Spirit. He asked the Lord to give him insight into why that person is angry. I remember a few years ago, I went to a parenting course. And I remember sitting the first night of the parenting course. It was quite such a defining moment for me as a Christian. I was sitting there at a parenting course, and a lady was also there. A few of us were sitting there. And the leader of the parenting course started a course, but the one lady, she was really not doing well. So he was asking her, so why are you not, what's wrong? Why you seem quite disturbed? And the lady shared, and she started sharing about her life, and this is the discipline issues they have been having with their child. And the leader, he just looked at her and he said to her, if we do things according to the word of God, our children will not have discipline issues. And Jesus, when he comes back with a rod of iron to rule. That was his words. And then he went on with his program. I was sitting there, and at that time I was quite legalistic, I think. But I was sitting there, and I was like, "Whoa, that was rough. that was quite scriptural." But I don't think that lady would have come back again. But that's the thing is, he probably just judged according to scripture. But what was needed there was really the eyes of Christ. To just discern what was really going on and what God wants to do. God, on this mission trip, God aligned us with some divine appointments. And one of the people we met on one of our bus trips, he's a pastor now, and he was in the occult for like 20 years or so. And then he got saved. So now he's got a full-on deliverance ministry in Kenya. And it was really cool chatting to him, because he's got quite insight on how the witchcraft and things work in Africa and things like that. And then we actually met with him again the day after we returned from Meru. And I asked him, or as a team, we asked him one question. He said, we asked him, if you have a demonic manifestation in a service, and somebody comes and has got a problem, how do you deal with it? And he looked at me and he said, it's going to take me a long time to share to you what's really needed. But the basic answer is you need discernment. When that person is manifesting, you need to realize, you must find out, why is that person manifesting? What's the reasons? What are the things that are keeping that person? What are the root causes? And then you also need discernment of how to deal with it. So he said to me, discernment is the key thing. And that is when this is just so aligns with what we're dealing with tonight. Revelation knowledge. God wants us to operate in every sphere of our lives by the Holy Spirit coming to reveal to us. And discernment is just that. God gives us the ability to realize what is actually really happening here. What's really the situation here. And that's how God wants us to rule. And we can grow in the discernment because the Bible says we can ask and God will give us. But also through training. And it's interesting, I was reading the other day about Solomon. When he became king over Israel, the Lord said to him, ask me of anything and I will give it to you. And we all know the original account of he asked for wisdom and God gave him wisdom. But 1 Kings 3 verse 9, and in the literal version, also the ESV says the same. And this is what Solomon is asking. He said, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. Who is able to judge this, your great people? So what he was saying is, God, I need your help in making decisions in my kingdom. I need you to give me discernment to make decisions every time I need to make a decision. So God wanted discernment. He wanted the revelation knowledge for every day of his life. Proverbs 40 verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. Luke 5 verse 37 to 39. And no one puts new wineskin or new wine into old wineskins. If it does, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one after drinking the old wine desires new, for he says the old is good. And I don't know if you ever read that scripture, but this is also just giving me new revelation, what God was saying there. We like the old wine. We like what we already have. We like the old wineskins. We like the revelation we got a week ago or a month ago, and we want to live by that. And I think that's one of the problems we have in the more traditional churches. They sometimes live by revelation they got a year or 10 years ago, but they don't necessarily have God speaking to them on a daily basis. They're not necessarily allowing God to lead them, by the way. So God is challenging us. The scripture is saying it's easy to stay in that old mentality and to stay in that old place, but he wants to actually come and move around us. He wants to give us new revelation. He wants to build upon that old revelation. It's not like the old revelation is bad. It's a good foundation to build a new one on, but he wants to do a new thing. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 4, 5. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful life and a quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to come to be safe and come to the knowledge of the truth. Once again, revelation knowledge. God's heart is for all people to come to revelation knowledge. And this puts a bit of a damper upon the whole theology of God just choosing certain people to come to salvation. His heart is for all people to come to salvation. But the key is for people to come to the knowledge of the truth. What really encourages me when I look at somebody, like in our country, we might be looking at somebody like President Jacob Zuma. But when I think of him, I think of like a Paul. God could reveal to Paul that he is God and that he needs salvation. He can do that to Jacob Zuma. And I was this week I was reading a bit of Joseph, story of Joseph, and it was amazing how God used revelation knowledge in his life to change his world around. Because the first revelation knowledge that Joseph had was the dream he had. He was going to stand before his brothers. But then God also gave him a gift of discernment. Of dreams. So through revelation knowledge, Joseph had access to Pharaoh. And through that revelation knowledge that God gave him, he became ruler over all of Egypt. And salvation came upon the nations of the earth through God's revelation knowledge. And so that really encourages me to pray for our leaders in our country. To really pray that God could change our countries. In Africa as well, I pray a lot. I really trust a lot more for leaders to come into salvation, to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Because God is able to reveal to their heart. And also, I think we must pray a lot more that God will move things so that His kingdom will come into place. I want to start praying things like, God, let Jacob Zuma meet Duncan so that he can have an advisor like Joseph in his life. So we must really start praying in faith, because why can't God do that? We know people in our lives that really would run this country well if they would be made leaders, and they have no potential to get there. But I'm praying for people like Lindiwe and Duncan and a lot of our leaders. I'm praying that God would put them in strategic positions, and that through revelation knowledge, our country will be run. Because, you know, it's not even through moral laws that our country will really change. It's going to change by God taking ownership of our country, by Him, through revelation, through His leading, taking ownership of this country. And if God could do it with Pharaoh at that time, why can't He do it in South Africa in this day and age? Why can't one of us become president or be the president's advisor or the president getting saved? Okay, I'm almost done. Hold on to your seats. Yeah, so let's pray. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are not saved. Let's pray for those people who come to church who haven't got a revelation of God. God can just do something like that. Through a dream, through a vision, God can do it. He can bring them to salvation. Joel 2, verse 28 to 30. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the earth. Yeah, I was, like I say, I was so encouraged being on mission, because I really lived that. Every person on our mission, they really had the faith that God would use them. And that was the most encouraging part of for me, was that when people step to the front and they don't say, I want to be at a distance and I just want second-hand revelation. I want God to use me in the context of the church. And God just comes and moves. He just comes and do great things. And this is His promise, that in the end days, God will move by His Spirit, and the kingdom will come forth through revelation. It will come forth by His Spirit, revealing true signs and wonders, true dreams, true visions. He will come and do a thing in our midst. And that same scripture which Marichan quoted earlier, I've got here as well. I will be a fire, wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in the midst. And this week I was meditating on that scripture, and that wall of fire all around, I named the sermon, God wants to through fire, He wants to consume the darkness. And I feel that wall of fire around is not necessarily just a protective thing. It seems like a bit of a protective thing. But I also feel that wall of fire around us, it's more an offensive thing. I feel God wants, through His presence, through us, through just His giftings and the flow. You know, all the giftings of the Holy Spirit is really just there to help us to minister. If we're going to operate in any gift, God really is giving those things for us to spread the gospel so that the gospel will be effective. It just authenticates God's assignment in our lives. So that ball of fire around us, I really believe, is just a release of God with us. God's heart for Ronnebosch and for the southern suburbs. So that's what I feel, if the band can just come up. So I just feel God wants to come and do a new thing. He wants to come and reveal more of Himself among us. And I feel He wants to do more of that in our personal lives, in our workplaces. He wants to give us strategy for a workplace of how He wants to take that place. He wants to give us strategies for our families. And He wants to do it in a corporate way as well. He wants to come and give us strategy for Ronnebosch, and give us strategy for Cape Town and for South Africa and for Africa. I'm really so encouraged to see what God is doing already. While we were in Africa, like that guy I was telling you about, that's operating in just deliverance ministry. God just revealed Himself to him, and He changed that guy from a head witch to a pastor. And now he goes around and he uses that same skills that was meant for bad. He's now using to change the world. He's telling of an account where they had a conference, a deliverance conference, somewhere around Mero. They were three pastors. And he said, while they had a conference, the third day or something, a whole group of witches came to the conference. How many? 93 or something. 93 witches came to them and said to them, "This is our area. We want you guys to leave. You don't want them." And he said, all they did is they just started praying. So there was like a stand down, like an Elijah moment. And he said, he didn't go into the details, but he said that after a while, the witches left. So God's power in him was greater. And the same for us. We might be intimidated by darkness and by what's around us. But God has already put inside of us what is meant to conquer the darkness around us. He wants us to exceedingly conquer. And I just want to give an opportunity now. God has been ministering to your heart tonight. You really feel there's a part of your inheritance that you haven't taken hold of. You're not really operating. You haven't really aligned yourself with just the fact that God wants to reveal things to your heart. He wants to speak to you by His Spirit. He wants to speak into your ear. And even if you're just challenged to the fact that it's not happening enough, God says we can ask of His Spirit. We can ask for discernment, and He will give it to you. So if you want to operate more on revelation knowledge, if you want God to speak more to you, I just want to make an invitation tonight to every head bowed down and every eye closed. I just want to make an invitation tonight. If that's you, you are hungry for God. You don't want to just stand afar off, but you really want to be like Moses, where God says, "He's my friend, I speak to him. I'm intimate with him. I love Moses because I can reveal my secrets to him." If that's you tonight, you just want to just grow in that relationship of yours with God, then I want you just to take a bold step. Just come out of your seat. Just come forward. And I just want to pray for us. If that's you tonight. You just want to grow into that intimacy. Facilitators to just come and pray. Don't pray yet. I just want to pray corporate prayer, and then you can pray. Feel, Lord, that you want us to just be obedient, to respond to that word that came in the beginning, Lord. And our Father, we just want to say tonight, Lord, that we really want to walk in that place of revelation knowledge. Father, we don't know what it looks like, Lord. We don't understand always, Father, because it's a thing of a new wineskin. It's really a thing where you want to come and challenge us out of our comfort zones, Lord. And tonight, we just want to come in obedience and just come to respond to your word, that you want to move us as a church into a new season, Lord. We really want to see, Father, you conquering that darkness, you consuming the darkness amongst us, Lord, just by your revelation knowledge being manifested among us, Father. We really want to walk into situations and know exactly what's happening. We want to have a word in season. We want to pray for our families, Father, and see them come to salvation. We want to receive strategies, Father, to take our workplaces, to take Barnabas, Lord. And tonight we just come to say, Father, we are willing. We are wanting of that in our lives, Lord. And Father, we just want to now in obedience just come and declare that we are stepping into that season of revelation, Lord. Father, we don't know what's happening, but we want to say like Joseph and Caleb, Lord. Caleb and Joshua. Sorry, Lord. We just want to say, Lord, that we don't know what a promised land looks like. There's maybe giants out there. There's things there that we don't understand, Lord. But we want to just take a step of boldness for into that promised land, Lord, where you will provide to us taking ownership of that which you give us. That revelation knowledge, Father, just the gifts and the discernment to walk by your voice, Lord. Just tonight we just come acknowledge, Holy Spirit, that your voice leads us. We are your sheep and we hear your voice. And Father, I just want to release now just that ears that hear, that hearts that can discern. We just also just want to release amongst us a discernment to walk in the gifts you've given us, Father. Just the gift of prophecy, Lord. The gift of discernment of spirits. Just every gift related, Father, to hearing your voice and applying it, Lord. Thank you for the manifestation of the witness of Jesus Christ. Thank you for a gift of prophecy that witnesses of Jesus Christ among us, Lord. Just release that in Jesus' name. And just pray for the people.
Just while the people are busy praying in front, just want to ask all of us just to close your eyes. People in front, you can continue praying, but just felt that there's specifically one person here tonight. There might be more, but there's one specific person that I felt that God is calling you back to His heart. I feel that there's been so many ways that you've tried to solve, and actually you've backslid, and you're far away from God tonight, and you've tried to mend things, you've tried to fix things, and you've even tried to pray and do all these things, but it's like your heart is not connecting to God, and it's just strife, it's just struggles, but it's not real. It's not reality. I believe that God wants to come and tonight restore Himself and reveal Himself. And maybe you've made some mistakes and committed you made some wrong decisions. Maybe just this holiday, then God wants to bring you into that safe place, into His arms. So I want you to be very honest with yourself, but more than that, honest with Him. He's the Father. He knows everything in any case. But what He wants from you and I is to be like little children and to come to the Father. So I want to ask you, while every eye is closed, if you're here tonight and you know you need to come back to God, you're far away from Him, but in your heart, it's in your heart, in your mind, you know what's right, you know the truth, you know everything. Even tonight, as Manus has been ministering, you know the things, but it's your heart is like it's far away. But as Manus has been ministering, the scripture says that if you hear His voice today, do not harden your heart, but it's difficult for you because it's like your heart cannot reach out to Him. So I want to ask you, while with your eyes closed, won't you just raise your hand if that's you? I want to pray a prayer for you. I want to invite you into the home, to the house of God the Father. Where's that person? Thank you for that hand. Phil, there's another person here. Just be very bold. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Just be very bold. Say, Lord, I'm going to be honest. Thank you for that hand. Just say, Lord, I'm struggling. I want to. Thank you for that hand. There's a couple of hands that have gone up. Some people still need to make that decision tonight. It's not something you can fix by yourself. It's not something you can go and do and sort. You must do it when the Holy Spirit answers. So if you feel that call tonight, maybe it's not going to make sense, but your heart is crying out, saying, respond, crying out, Abba Father. If that's you, put up your hand. Don't resist that. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? I don't want to delay this too long, but this is such an important thing. This, you cannot go on. You cannot start this semester. You cannot start cannot go into this week even without making right with God tonight. So is there anyone else? Last chance. Just put up your hand and say, Lord, tonight I'm coming back to your heart. Not with my mind, but in my heart. And I want you to be very bold. If you put up your hand, or even if you didn't, but you know this is God, you're feeling it, you'd be feeling a tugging in your heart, I want you to be bold and to quickly come to the front. Quickly just come right here to the front. If you've already responded, just come a bit forward. Quickly come out. If you know you must be here, quickly come out. God wants to minister to your heart, bring you back to His heart.